Pastor Jerry mentioned in the opening video, we're going to do things a little bit different this morning. My name's Daryl, and I'm on staff here at the chapel as a pastor, and with us today is Pastor Breck, our Elmwood campus pastor. And in just a moment, we're going to be walking through kind of the story of Breck's life here over the last couple of years and how God has worked and done an amazing thing in his life and basically ended up birthing and just resulting in him being the pastor of our Elmwood campus. But before we get there, I want to rewind us back to early on in this series formed. You know, Pastor Jerry has been leading us through a number of things here over the past couple of weeks, talking about our body, our mind, and our soul, and what it means to be a holistic disciple of Jesus, giving all that we are to all that he is. And you remember back when he was talking about following Jesus and how we need to have the dust of Jesus on us. Remember that? Remember encouraging us to be so close to Jesus that his dust is on us? And there was a phrase that Pastor Jerry used, and so I'm going to call on your brain cells here to remember something. Jesus called us because he believes in us, but he requires all of us. That's right. Jesus called us because he believes in us, but he requires all of us. That's just something, that's a great truth to keep hold of. And then the next week, Pastor Jerry walked us through and talked about the body and how our body is the temple. And as the temple, it needs to be holy and pleasing before the Lord. And where we go, our body goes. And we need to, wherever we're at, be in a place where we can worship God. And so that's so very important. And there was something interesting that he said in that message, and he was talking about our body needs to serve us. And our body makes a terrible master. And each of us know that personally from our own experiences, don't we? That our body makes a terrible master. So we need to discipline our bodies to serve us so that we can worship God. And then we talked about the mind, and Pastor Jerry did a great thing up here. He had a bunch of tools and stuff, wheelbarrow and some other equipment up here. And he was talking about the renovation of the mind and how we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And there was a reason for that. Actually, there was two key points that Pastor Jerry landed on. One was being that just a thought of, and he talked to it being poison and how that can just affect our whole body and our whole thought process and who we are, our attitude, our behaviors. And so he gave a story about a house with a nail. You remember that? And the guy had to go pull the nail out. And so hopefully some of you have taken that to heart. And over the past couple of weeks, you've been pulling some nails out. I think that's been a good exercise, hasn't it? And so we need to be very careful so that we're renewing our mind and pulling those nails out. Why? So we can understand what the will of God is. That's what his word states. His word states that you need to have a transformed mind to understand his will. And there was the tools that Pastor had out here was great. You know, he had the word of God representing light, talked about prayer, he talked about confession, talked about repentance, talked about forgiveness and how that's a process and how the transformation of our mind is a lifelong journey. And then last week, he talked to us about soul care, soul being our inner essence and kind of everything wrapped up into one inside of us. And we did something that I believe he said it was 1,500 years old. It was a process where we get still, we get quiet before God, we declutter, and then we read and listen, and then we meditate, not an emptying of, but a filling, and then we pray that back to God. And then we just be, and then we abide, and just let that wash over us. And then from that, then we can go do. Then we can embody what truth God has revealed to us. It was just a great process. And I hope that each of you have had an opportunity to do that this week. And so when we close this series out, you know, what better way to close it out than with what I call a living example? And so Breck has been on a journey over the past couple of years and on how God's just been working in him. And we're going to walk through a series of questions, a little Q&A here, and just explore how Breck has yielded himself, his body, his mind, and his soul to Jesus, and how God has used that in an amazing way. So, Breck, thank you for being with us today.
Well, it's a privilege and an honor to be here, and we had a great time the first hour. And it's kind of convicting because I think I walked my body into Krispy Kreme this week. And I don't know how spiritual that was. Lord, forgive me. But you know what? It is cool to be able to come here today. Pastor Jerry's here with us, and he got to go down and hang out with the Elmwood crowd at 919. And for those of you who don't know the spiritual dynamic to 919, search the scripture. It's deep in there. It's not really. But so it was cool to have him back and be able to go down there and see for himself what is happening down there at the chapel at Elmwood. So cool. It's good to be here.
What is, Brecken? And let's just start off with, you know, at some point in time, God started getting a hold of you with regards to planting a church. And if you would share with us kind of the journey to that point, yeah. And, you know, how you walked through that and some of the things you were thinking about, and what you share with us, how all that came to be.
Well, I think for me, it took a while. And I'm sure for all of you, you're in a process, you're in a journey. And today, really, I just want this to be an encouragement. This conversation that we're having today, that it doesn't matter if you're 15, if you're 25, 30, it doesn't matter what season of life you're in. That God takes us right where we're at in that season of life. And if we will join Him, He'll take us someplace. And for me, the chapel at Elmwood did not happen just this past Easter. I mean, that's when we launched. But there were years prior to that that God had to really do a work in my heart. And probably to rewind back to one of those aha moments for me was back in 1993. And my wife and I had just gotten married. And so I was a basketball coach, and I was working at a very small college in Lake Wales, Florida. Most of you probably don't know where Lake Wales, Florida is, right in the center of the state, very hot, desolate place, not a whole lot of people there. And so part of my being assistant coach there was also being in charge of the men's dorm. So we get married, we have our honeymoon, and then we come back to the men's dorm. It was a beautiful thing.
Nice.
Yeah. Hey, guys, can you keep it down? You know, it was crazy. So that year, I spent that year there. And so I got a chance to go to the 93 Final Four. For you basketball, you know, people that love college basketball, that was the year that North Carolina won it. And so I went there because I was in search of another job. Because the job I had that year was no longer available to me and my head coach. If you've ever been in coaching, you know how that is. Basically, we got fired. And so I was looking for another coach. I'm newly married. I need to have a job, provide for my wife, all those good things. So I zip off to the Final Four in New Orleans that year. And while I was there, I got a chance to hear Josh McDowell speak to a room full of coaches, college coaches, high school coaches. And what I thought I was going there for was a job that really... In reality, God was there to speak to me that day, that night. And so in a room full of coaches, some of which I'd seen on TV, and it was cool. I was going, wow, look at there. There's that, and there's that coach. And then Josh got up to speak and basically said this. He said, coaches, you're all in this room, and you've got a lot of things that are similar. You've got a lot of things that you can that are the same about you. One of which is this, is that you're successful. We all kind of laughed, and he said, I know that because if you're not successful, you don't get to be a coach for very long. And we all laughed at that. That's true. You know, coaching is what have you done for me lately kind of deal. And he said, let me challenge you with something. And he looked at us and it was like I was sitting in that room, just me and Josh. And he said, you could spend your whole life working towards success. And at the end of the day and at the end of your career, you may have a player that walks out. You may have a player that leaves. You may have a player that gets hurt. And one year you've got a great season and a 20-plus win. You may go to a tournament the next year. It's nothing. You're out of a job. And you're always going to be searching for that next great player, for that next great program, for that next great job. At the end of that time, that life, you're going to feel like you didn't accomplish much. But let me challenge you to something to redirect your attention. And he said, coaches, he said, if I were you, I would change my desire for success for significance. And he said, the difference between success and significance is significance will echo, will last into eternity. And if you're going to invest your life into something, I would rather you invest it into something that will last. And the only thing that will last in eternity is people. If you're going to invest your life in something, don't invest it in a win. Don't invest it into a job. Don't invest it into some type of new program. Invest your life into people. And that day, that was kind of an aha moment for me. And I started rethinking about how I lived and what I lived for. And if you guys have been in a men's in our men's breakfast, in our men's ministry in the past, you know we talk about thinking with the end in mind. And so for me, that was kind of the beginning stages for me. And God really starting to work in my heart and life. And from that point, 6 years later, I'm still coaching. 6 years later, God calls Gloria and myself into ministry. And one day, we're on a Wednesday, and I'm a high school at this point, high school athletic director in West Palm Beach, Florida, boys basketball coach. School's out. We say goodbye to all the teachers. On Thursday, we have vacation. We go to the beach, which is like 10 minutes away. It was awesome back in those days. You just go to the beach just 10 minutes away. You could see the ocean there.
You can't do that here?
Yeah. No. Lake Erie. Crystal Beach. And so then on Friday, we drove to Dade City, Florida. On Sunday, I took about 75, 80 crazy teenagers to a camp in Daytona Beach. And that began a journey for Gloria and I that has not stopped. And it was actually at that camp where I first met Pastor Jerry. He was at another church, and it was incredible how even way back then, our paths crossed just kind of like that. And so that was 6 years after that. That was 98. And 3 years later, I find ourselves moving to Buffalo, New York. And who would have thunk it? Certainly not me. I can remember because Mom and Dad had moved to Buffalo. They talked about Buffalo, and I didn't really know anything about Buffalo other than they had experienced some struggles at Super Bowls through the years. And so that's basically all I knew at that point. But
careful.
And so I know it. I'm part of us now. I'm here. I love Buffalo. But I'll never forget the first time that maybe the second time we came up to visit. It was actually in January. How stupid can you be to visit Buffalo when you're living in Mobile, Alabama in January? Yeah, so we showed up, and I'll never forget driving down transit, and we were going by the East, the mall there, the East Lake Mall,
Eastern Hills
Mall.
Yep.
And so we were driving by Eastern Hills Mall, and I could see the big sign, but I couldn't actually see the mall. You know why? Because all the mountains of snow in the parking lot. And I'm going, I can't see the mall. It's a mountain of snow. When will this melt? Like July? Somebody said June. Great. So I'll never forget. I mean, we get on the plane, we fly to Mobile, and I say, man, God bless you, Mom and Dad. Yeah, you know, good luck in Buffalo. Love you. Send me letters and postcards and pictures, and I'll see you next year. And I was so glad that God had called us to sunny, beautiful Mobile, Alabama. And it was just a few months later that we packed our bags up and we moved to Buffalo, New York. The week that we moved to Buffalo, New York, USA Today ran an article in the paper, and it talked about the taxes, state taxes. And so I just thought, oh, that's interesting. So I'm reading this thing, and there at number 50 was the good state of Alabama. That's where we had lived. We had played like pennies for taxes. Then I look up. I said, where's New York? Well, looky there. It's number one. It was number one. I'm going,
there you go, baby.
God, you're awesome. I get to go to a state that's number one in something. I was at the bottom, and so now we moved to New York and Buffalo, and man, God started working in our hearts and lives, and we've fallen in love with the city. But it was soon after that, in the fall of that Gloria and I started to, you know, get to know the community. And one of the ways that we like to get to know the community is finding out about the good restaurants in that community. So we ventured our way down to the city and to the Elmwood Village and all that kind of stuff. And I'll never forget, one of those, once again, aha moments that I'll never forget. We're driving back on the 33. And I look out on the 33 and I look out on the landscape of the city of Buffalo. And I see a bunch of church steeples. I see what once maybe used to be this vibrant community, spiritual community. And I started asking questions like, what's happening really in the city? Of course, you know, the chapel is North Forest at this point and out in the suburbs. And I hadn't really had a lot of contact with what's going on in the city. And at that particular time, what not only were we number one in taxes, but we were also, that Amherst was the safest city in America. So, I mean, God was just like awesome how he provided for us in that way. And it struck me, and I mentioned it to Gloria, and I said, wow. I said, what a difference between 20 minutes on the 33, between not the safest city in America and the safest city. We're so blessed here. And right then at that moment, God began to just do a general work, just kind of a tweak my spirit, yeah, just a little bit. And just, you know, because we're at North Forest, we're at Chapel, things are rocking and rolling and things are going great and momentum and all that kind of stuff. But he began to just kind of put a little bit of a heartbeat for the city at that point.
Wow, that's great. And, you know, taking that general feeling that you said God began to work in you on that. And why don't you tell us a little bit about what did you do personally then, you know, with that? Were there some things you started to do differently to put you in a place where you could hear better from God, maybe get a little clearer in what he might specifically be telling you to do?
Yeah.
I'd be interested in hearing that.
Well, what I started to do, and you know, it's one of those things, and maybe, I don't know, maybe you guys can appreciate this. Maybe you've been in a situation where you just kind of feel a little bit, there's something different, but you're involved in life. I mean, you got the family, you got work, you got all those types of things, but under the surface, behind the scenes, there's this something else that's starting to go on, and that was what was happening with me. And so on Thursday mornings, as often as I could, I would zip down to the city, and I would do some study, and I'd do my work down at maybe a Starbucks or a Spot Coffee House or whatever. And on the way back, instead of coming back on the 33, I started just driving back through the community. I started driving through the west side and through the east side and through, the midtown area. And I just prayed this prayer. I said, Lord, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. There's a definite need. You can see it. Everywhere you drove, everywhere you looked, all these communities, house upon house upon house. And I said, Lord, I'm no spiritual giant. This is just me, you know. But who's going to reach these people? And we started praying as a family a little bit. And every once in a while, when I tuck my kids in bed, snuggle up to Caleb or Carly, and I said, hey, isn't it cool that we have King's World? Do you know there are hundreds of thousands of kids in the city who don't have the opportunity to walk into a King's World? How about let's pray that God would send somebody or help somebody to provide what we get every Sunday? Wouldn't that be cool? Yeah. So I got to be honest with you. I didn't do that every night. I'd do that when I would remember. You with me? Journal, talk about, pray about this stuff. You know, I don't want you to think at all. I mean, it was, okay, Lord, I'm busy. You want me to do what? You want me to go down there? I got work to do, Lord. Are you sure? There would be times I would obey that. There would be times I'd go, I just got stuff to do. I'm doing your work, God. You know, don't interrupt me. Crazy. I know that didn't have anybody
right,
else,
right,
but I'm
right,
like
right.
Just being honest with you a little bit here.
Yeah.
And God started really to do a work in more of a specific area in my life. And and what is he's been faithful to do through my whole life. He's been faithful to really knock off the rough edges of my life. He's really faithful at that. I don't know if he's faithful in your life, but he certainly has been in mine. And at every season of life and at every path and at every junction of life, I look back and I go, oh, Lord, why did you? Why am I in this? Why am I having to do this? And he started to do a work in me. And at that particular time, I started having these questions, these doubts. Oh, Lord, you know, you need to send some people down here. And he would just whisper, I am. I have. He's just not listening right now. And so, we would come back, we would do our deal, and God was doing an amazing thing. But I guess what really, I would say, what really kind of turned the tide was, and this was a couple of years in the process.
Right.
As I was starting to really search God and be more specific in my prayers. And instead of praying for somebody, I started saying, are you sure, Lord, you got... Because, and I had these doubts. Maybe you've had these doubts before about whether or not you've got the ability. Whether about you're smart enough, teenager. Or you're, you know, I mean, how can I? I mean, I got a dad who's been in ministry for 40-some years. Pretty good communicator, you know, good leader. God, I'm not really cut out to be the pastor, senior pastor, lead pastor. I don't have all of that stuff that you need. And he started working away in my heart and life. And I started discovering, and I've heard it all my life. He said, I'm not really about your ability, Breck. I'm the one who made you. But will you be available? So I had to change my prayers. I said, okay, Lord, if this is who you want me to be, if this is where you want us to go, you've got to start putting a heart and a love in my heart for the city. A love for a city that you've just drawn me to. I mean, the city of Buffalo isn't the prettiest city in the world in January, is it? It's gorgeous in July. Not so much in January. And so I just started and said, Lord, I don't have it within me to love this city. I don't have it within me to love this people. I'm a suburb guy. What am I doing in the city? When you start asking God to do that kind of thing, it's amazing how faithful he is. Now, I can't imagine being any place else. You couldn't drag me from Buffalo. Friends come up, I brag about Buffalo. I know Buffalo. I've studied Buffalo. I know trivia about Buffalo.
It's number one in taxes, right?
It is. Lord willing, we'll change that one of these days. But that was that process, yeah. Daryl, and it came from a general to then a specific kind of deal.
We want to talk about being formed. Hope you were paying attention and listening to that. I mean, that's what it's about. Sometimes it's a long process. Sometimes God speaks in a moment, but he desires to move us through a process. And so thank you for sharing that, Breck. Well, when came the moment of truth? You know, there came a point in time when, you know, you're done wrestling. You're done praying, and you just need to say it. And so when was that day when you said, you know what, this is real. This is going to happen. I'm going to plant a church. And once you said that, how did that change things for you?
Well, those were scary words for me to actually say. I mean, Gloria and I would talk about it. And it was in the back of my mind. But at this point, Pastor Jerry had come on the scene. And man, great things were happening. We had decided to move our campuses from North Forest to here. And so, a lot of great things were happening. But I can remember going to lunch with my dad at one of our favorite Mexican restaurants over there and sitting down having a Speedy Gonzales and a number one right there for lunch. And at the end of that lunch conversation, I hadn't really talked to Dad about this at all. I'd not mentioned it. And this was probably a year and a half, 2 years into the process. And it had just been really a private thing with me. And I remember looking across the table. I said, "Hey, Dad, just thought you'd want to know something. God's just kind of working on me. It has been for a little while. And I really sense that He wants me to do something a little different than what I'm doing right now." And he goes, "Well, what is that?" And he said, "Well," I said, I think I think He wants me to possibly plant a church." And he goes, "Wow, that's great." And I knew that would speak to his heart because he was a church planter himself. He planted a church when I was 7, and I was a part of that as a kid. And he said, "Well, where?" I said, "Buffalo," like the city. "Really?" I said, "Yeah, it's kind of crazy, huh? We haven't really spent a lot of time in the city. And Buffalo, I mean, there's a lot of really cool places around the world. None cooler than the city of Buffalo, though." And I said this earlier before, and I want to pause and say this. I thank God that I had the experience to be able to sit across the table and speak to my dad about spiritual things. It had nothing to do with me. It had everything to do with him. "Dad, can I tell you something? Can I challenge you something? Stay in the game. The frustration point that you're at right now, stay in it. Because I can't tell you how cool it would be for me in a few years to sit across the table from one of my kids and hear them say, 'Hey, Dad, God's working on me. Here's what it is.' And for me to have stayed in the game, to stay married to my wife, to stay faithful to him and to stay faithful to her, and have the privilege that my dad had he had. Hopefully it won't take my kids as long to hear from God as it did his. I think that's a reflection on his parenting too. So it's the good and the bad. But I'll never forget that. And at that point, then probably 3 or 4 months later, I had that same conversation with Pastor Jerry. And this is one of the great things about working for and serving with and under a leader who's about the kingdom and not his thingdom. Can you imagine businessman or businesswoman, you walking in and telling your boss that you have an idea that you want to kind of start a new business? And that boss goes, "Oh, really? Well, I thought you were about, you know, my business." "And what kind of business would that be?" "Oh, the same thing." "The exact same thing. That's what I want to do." Now, and in the reality of the kingdom building process, the church, Big C, it's great to have a pastor who's not about his ego and being able to look across and go, "Hey, that's awesome. Let's pray and let's see what God wants to do to be able and just find out. Let's just go with this thing and let's start to pray." And we started to pray together and we started having a conversation. Every once in a while we'd come back to this conversation. And he'd ask me, "Well, what's going on?" And I was still being a knucklehead. I'm going, "Well, I think, but you know what? I'm not sure. I don't know. I take that back a little bit." And we came back, and that's when we talked about that and we said that. And I'll never forget, this was like the living, singing Christmas tree. And I was right over here, and I ran across a buddy of mine that was coming in from out of town. And I asked, "Hey, John, what you doing, man?" He said, "Just give me a quick 2-minute kind of deal. I got to run." He said, well, I'm getting ready to plant a church, downtown city of Austin. Really? Wow. I thought to myself, I'm kind of thinking about planting a church. And he goes, I'm going to a conference down in Ocala, Florida in a couple of weeks. I go, wow, that's great. Florida, middle of the winter, that'd be good. And so Gloria and I got to go down to that. And it was there at that conference where God finally said, will you stop praying about if? It was like, quit asking me if this is what I want you to do. Acknowledge it and move. Acknowledge it and move on. Acknowledge it and go forward. And it was at that moment that I prayed, and I said, and Gloria and I, we came back, and I said, okay, when I get back Monday, I'm talking to Pastor Jerry in the office, and I'm gonna let him know. And so, because one of the struggles that I had is, man, I did not want to be called into something of a convenience, like, okay, it's cool, it's trendy, being a church planner, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I wanted to know that I knew that I was called to a city for a purpose. And at that point, I knew. And so I'll never forget, man, we came back on that Monday, had lunch with Pastor Jerry, and I looked across from him, and I know my words, I was nervous, and I'm going, okay, I'm about ready to tell him this, and I know, because I know what kind of guy he is, he's not going to slap me with a big ugly fish. He's going to accept this thing. This is going to be good. And so I sat down and I said, listen, I love this place. I love you as a pastor. God's called me. He's called my wife, Gloria, my kids, to plant a church in the city of Buffalo. I would love to stay under the umbrella and under the leadership of the chapel, but I don't want to be presumptuous. If that's not God's will, then if I have to, I'll go get a job. I can mow really straight lines. My dad taught me well. I can mow a mean lawn. And if I have to, God, I don't want to be honest with you. I like my house. I like the paycheck. I like all of that. But if God, if that's what you want me to do, then that's what we'll do. And that's what I told Pastor Jerry. And he said, okay. And then from what was about a 4-year journey, yep, became light speed. And at that point, we really started coming in and we started having conversation. And that was kind of the next phase of it.
Well, I can remember some of those conversations, and we went to a couple conferences, and we actually even went on a road trip down to Washington, D.C. to see a church meeting in a theater. And so after that, we pretty much decided we were the experts.
Yeah.
And so
we were.
Yeah. And so
we were talking about all the things they should have done.
That's right.
Should have been doing.
We knew it all. And
man, we were so smart.
So. But when you look back on those conversations and you look at, you know, what you were thinking and what God was revealing to you and some of the things you had your hands around as you went into the launch, and that's been about 4 months now.
Mm-hmm. Easter Sunday.
Launched on Easter Sunday this year. So what have you learned since then? I mean, what are some of what we'll call some good quality nuggets that you've discovered since that point in time and you know today that perhaps you didn't know then?
Well, it's one of those things that when you get on the other side of something, maybe you've started a business, maybe you've done something like that, and all the things that you stressed about prior to that, those were good things. But on the other side, sometimes you realize, oh, that's good. I'm glad I prepared for that because I'm using it now. Sometimes you think and you prepare about certain things, and they just never happen. And you realize and you go, why was I stressing over that? Why was I worried about that? And for me, that's been a lot of this process. And for me, there was two other families that kind of joined this team. And it was the Leatherlands, Earl and Kendra Leatherland, and their kids. And they joined us. And, man, he walked out of an FBI job, great position, head to Houston, took a kind of a U-turn and came back to Buffalo and has been with us. And then Alex and Jennifer Adama. And Jennifer, we asked her to be our campus director. And one of the cool things about Jennifer's story is that she's the daughter of Pastor Andrews, who founded the chapel some 40-some years ago as a portable church in a school. And now, these 40-some years later, she and his granddaughter is a part of this launch and a part of this portable church kind of thing that's going on in a theater. And so, as as I've looked here, and there were some real fear things that kind of happened. I talked to Pastor Jerry, there was a real stress, especially the first several weeks on Saturday night. Will anybody show up tomorrow? We've worked really hard this week. And God has started to do some amazing things. And, I guess one of the things that, one of the passages that has helped me to get over my my hard-headedness of the fact that God is going to do His deal. God is going to move. God is going to build His church, His kingdom. And if we want to partner with Him, that's great, and we get blessed. And if we don't, He's still going to do it. And I came across this passage. I've read it many times. Boy, it took such a big part of me and encouraged me. And it was Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. And it says here, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine." And to be honest with you, a lot of times I would read this next part, "according to my power." And God has showed me, and His eye is continuing to show me, that if I would just be available, that He'll take whatever good and whatever bad, and He will somehow do something incredible. And I just want to encourage you, if you're a teenager here today, if you're a single mom or a single dad, if you've just walked through and walked out of a divorce, I don't know what's gone on in your world. You might be a businessman. Things might have been fantastic for you 12 months ago, and now they're at rock bottom. I don't know. Mom, you might be completely stressed out. You're trying to get all of the school supplies, and none of the stores have them in stock, and you're just going crazy. I don't care who you are and where you are in your season of life. This passage right here applies to you. It applies to you in your circumstance. It applies to you in your situation. It applies to you, not just to the pastor. "Now to Him, God Almighty, who is able to do immeasurably more in your circumstance, immeasurably more than you could ever imagine, according not to my power, not to your power, but to His power that is in work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations." You know, that message that I heard some 14 years ago still echoes in my mind. The message of significance. And I just want to encourage you. Teenager, I know you want to succeed. I know you want to be liked. I know you want to feel accepted. College student, young adult, mom, dad, all of us. Our desire for success is deep in us. But God has called us to more. He's called us to be formed. He's called us because He believes in us. But it takes all of us. And if I've discovered, and if hopefully I will continue to discover, is this, that if we will take what we have and invest it in who He is, then God will do what you can only imagine. The first Sunday that we walked into the Regal Theater, I'll never forget, first Sunday of January, we walk in there at 6 o'clock in the morning, and this lady was in there. And she was an employee of Regal. She'd been working all night to clean the place. She gets there at 12 o'clock. Her name's Brittany. And she saw somebody in our group, our launch team, that she recognized. And she goes, "Hey, what are you doing?" And this lady said, "Well, we're getting ready to start a church." She goes, "What? Here?" "Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? Actually, we're going to be doing an unofficial preview right here next Sunday, right here in this space. We're going to use Auditorium 14 and all these types of things." And And so we were going to do this preview, and we hadn't invited any of the public, just friends and family, so that, I mean, if we stunk at it, nobody would know except us, you know? So we gave a T-shirt to Brittany. Didn't really think a whole lot of it. It's cool. Next Sunday, we come back. We unload our stuff. We open the doors. There's Brittany. Of course, she's cleaning the theater for us. Well, after a while, we're cleaning up and everything. We're getting ready to, you know, for the big day, you know. And so after a while, I come back out in the lobby area, and Brittany's got a Chapel at Elmwood T-shirt on. She'd gone and cleaned up, and now she was helping us get ready for the day. People started loving Brittany and just encouraging her. She probably hadn't had that a lot through the years. About a month ago, we did a Transformer series. And the first Sunday of that series, we talked about choose your side. We talked about the importance that there's only two sides that you can choose. The world makes you think that there's a ton, but there's only two. And there's only one that's going to win. But it's important for us, for eternal reasons, that we choose the correct side. Because of your generosity, because of your faithfulness, because of a pastor and a staff and a team of people who said, kingdom come, and God, if you will provide the resources, we'll give it. I got to see Brittany walk down that aisle, come up to me, said, Brett, I got to choose. And I'm going to choose God's side. And that day we got to see Brittany, and we got to see other adults. And every day, not every day, but we've seen stories and we're hearing stories. And the reason why is because this congregation has decided that we're not going to think just about ourselves. We're going to think about others. And I can't wait to see what God has for us in this community for the future. As the band comes up and gets ready to play, I wear these three bracelets all the time, and they're a reminder for me. One, my son gave me. It's got the verse, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He gave it on a whim kind of deal. Here, Dad, you can have it, but I've not ever taken it off because it's a good reminder. This has got dream on it because God put a dream in my heart. This one says echo loud. Because about 14 years ago, somebody challenged me to live a life of significance. Said, you're never going to be significant unless your life is invested into eternity. And for us at the chapel at Cross Point today, and for us down at the chapel at Elmwood, can I put a dare out for you? Will you move? For some of you, you know that God has told you to do something and you're just sitting. You prayed about it, and God is saying, will you stop praying? Will you do it? For some of you, I'm to do something? Yes. God has called us. If we're going to be His disciple, He has called us. And discipleship, just by its meaning, means movement. I follow. Jesus, God, He doesn't stay still. He is leading us. And we have to decide, will we follow? Will we move? Will your life and will my life, will it echo loud into eternity? Our Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. There's so much that we can be grateful for. Your love and your salvation, first of all. The love and salvation that you initiated, that you give us, that we have, all we can do is receive it and be grateful and to pass it on. Lord, I pray for every man, woman, and child in this room. Lord, I pray that you would help us follow you. Help us to move. Lord, if we're going to be able to reach every man, woman, and child with repeated opportunities to hear and see the transforming, life-changing message of Jesus Christ, then it's going to take an army. It's going to take people at work, police officers and firemen and teenagers and Mighty Taco workers and nurses and doctors. It's going to take an army of your people who you have strategically placed in this community to move out, to build bridges of relationships that, Lord, one day will be able to bear the incredible love of Jesus Christ. Help us to follow you. Help us to move. In Jesus' name, amen.